Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Thursday, April 10th. Are you drifting too close to sin and compromise? Today's podcast offers a vital warning, encouraging us to steer clear of known dangers that could potentially derail our lives.
Is there ever a time when you and I can neglect our relationship to Christ? And is that not the reason that some people run aground and their ship begins to sink and they wonder what in the world's happened in their spiritual life? They just begin to be negligent. The neglect of anything is costly. And one of the reasons some people find themselves in a backslidden condition, they never chose to do it. They never said, I'm going to backslide. They just got busy doing something else. And someone got their attention over here. Let's do this. And why don't we do that? And they begin to fall into little habits. And those habits demand their time. And those demanded times draw from time they spent with God. And after a while, somehow they find themselves in a condition. They never planned it that way. It just resulted out of neglect in their life. Let me ask you this. As you look at your own spiritual life, are you neglecting any aspect of your spiritual life? Are you saying, well, I don't need to pray, or I don't particularly need to read the Bible. I'll make it somehow. And you see, I'm not saying you can't make it through one day without praying, but why do you think he said that we're to meditate day and night? Because God knows that when Satan cannot get you one way, if he can just get you busy doing something to neglect your warm, intimate, personal relationship with him, that sooner or later, you're going to run aground. It's just part of the lifestyle. But there's another way that it happens, and that's carelessness. When he said here, some have suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith, he's not talking about carelessness there, but carelessness is a way. If you ask any captain of a big ocean-going vessel, what is the thing he fears most at sea, he will tell you, fire. And most fires start out of carelessness. If there's anything a believer cannot afford, it is carelessness in our Christian life. Satan is always ready for that careless moment. That moment when we're not thinking. That moment when we have sort of let down our guard. That moment we think, well, just relax. Satan never relaxes. His demonic powers never relax. I'm not saying that you should not physically and emotionally relax, but I'm saying you and I are never to let down our spiritual guard. Carelessness. Temptation always lurks where there is the possibility of carelessness and indifference to the circumstances. Carelessness on our part as believers can cost our witness and our testimony and can cost someone else an awful lot of grief, an awful lot of, heartache, an awful lot of hurt. Carelessness on board ship, start a fire, and the ship sink, taking everybody with it beneath the waters. That's where some of God's people are. They just got careless about their life. Oh, they didn't think going into this particular place and that particular place would make any difference. After all, I'm a believer and I believe the Bible and I go to church on Sunday. What difference does it make anyway? My friend, carelessness always ends up being destructive at some point or the other. You can't be careless about traffic. You get careless about driving 55 miles an hour down the expressway when somebody's 10 feet in front of you, 10 feet behind you, and about 4 feet on both sides of you. You cannot afford carelessness. You know why some people are backslidden on God? They just got careless over their attitude, their relationships, their involvements, their money, their desires, their ambitions, and they began to build and build and build in those areas. Careless about the things of God that is so very important. Any careless pilot of a ship is destined for ruin ultimately. Then there are those ships that sink because of storms. What do I mean by that? Simply this. When a ship is in a storm and those waves begin to rise 9, 10, 15, 20 feet, it is a wise captain who knows how to sail his vessel through those mighty storms. I've never met a captain who did not have great respect for the sea, no matter how large his ship, because he knows there is a sea great enough to sink anything. Now, how does that relate to believers? Simply this. Do you know why some of God's people have run aground and their ships have sunk? And while their life is now useless and the joy is all gone, storm developed in their life and they didn't respond properly. What am I talking about? I'm talking about, for example, in a family, a storm of criticism and hostility between husbands and wives. And divorce comes. And here's the man who doesn't know how to handle that. And so what does he do? He goes to the bar. He's never been to a bar before, but he's heard that you can drink it away. And so he drinks and he drinks and he drinks and he drinks. Weeks go by and months go by and years go by. His face shows it. His countenance shows it. His body begins to show it. And if you said to him, "What happened? You were a believer. You used to go to church. You had Christian friends. You had a Christian family. What happened?" "I don't know what happened. What happened?" The storm hit him and he didn't know how to respond. A financial storm hits and you don't know how to respond. And the reason, you see, is because your security was wrapped up in things that you grasp. And when the storm hit and took all your finances away and you didn't know how to deal with it, you responded by looking for something to lean on rather than on leaning upon God, who has always and was always the only real security you had. And so what happens? You either go to the bottle, or you develop a new relationship, or you get on drugs. And you see, there are many of God's people who are backslidden, miserably wretched today. If they were to stop and ask, "Where did it all start? What caused me to become such a spiritual derelict?" they can point it back to a time in their life when they went through some stormy period and their response was not Christ-like. They didn't respond by turning to God. But here's a man whose wife walks out on him, takes the children, he can no longer see them, and he grows bitter and resentful and hostile and angry. And he turns it upon the world and upon all those around him. Storm comes into life and some great disappointment hits you. You see, there is nothing in life upon which you and I should place our security but the person of Jesus Christ. He is the only thing in your life that will never change. He's the only thing you have that will be there when death comes. Everything else can evaporate in a split moment. You can lose your family, you can lose your finances, you can lose everything you have. The only thing you cannot lose as a believer is Almighty God. And therefore, those who have placed their security in anything else, when disappointment comes, and it looks like all of life is suddenly tumbling and the storm is solid black and the seas are beating upon them with mighty waves, they see no way out, and they take some way out that is not Christ-like. You know, a derelict is a vessel that has become a danger to other seagoing vessels. Half submerged in the channel or close to the canal. And what we forget is this, that a backslidden Christian can oftentimes become a dangerous person. I don't mean physical harm. You see, when a person oftentimes finds themselves sinking in life because of divorce and all that goes on and all of that, and they run to someone else to patch up their emotions, and they get married again to patch it all up and make them feel better. And what did they do? They spew the same old bitterness and resentment on that poor gal. And she has to take it. And after a while, another divorce and a third and a fourth and a fifth. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to keep that sinking vessel up. And I'm going to tell you, the only thing that can keep it up is Jesus Christ, not someone else. Well, listen to what Paul said. He said, these folks have suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Now, what's the result of all that? Now, I've given you most of it, but let me just mention two or three things. First of all, when you walk away from God, either out of carelessness, indifference, or any form that we've talked about, the storms that come into life, The first thing that begins to happen is your own personal grief. You personally are going to suffer. The second thing that happens is you become useless. You see, when a ship runs aground, it's damaged. And when it's damaged, it can no longer be used for its original purpose until it's repaired. Take a sailboat. The wind and those beautiful white sails sailing across that blue water. What a beautiful sight. But look at that sailboat now. Over on the rocks, over on the side, the sails ripped asunder, the mast broken, the rudder gone, and there it is. Nothing beautiful about that. But you see, that's not why the sailboat was made. It wasn't made to lay on its side over on the rocks. It was made to sail deep water. Personal grief. We become useless as vessels of God. And thirdly, as we said a few moments ago, we become dangerous to other seagoing vessels. That is, if we are living in hostility and bitterness and resentment toward other people, what are we prone to do but somehow to bolster up ourselves? We want to get involved in somebody else's life and spew our bitterness and resentment, sometimes in a very subtle way that cannot even be seen on the surface by the other person. And this is why I say, and I said to you, my friend, out of love and compassion, be very careful in developing relationships. That you develop relationships based on the truth of the Word of God, not on the emotion of the moment, but on the truth of the principles of Scripture. Because sometimes those old vessels just beneath the water, unseen, can cause shipwreck to some other vessel. And I believe a person who is backslidden on God, I want to tell you, my friend, I say it out of compassionate love, a person who is backslidden on God needs to be reclaimed out of compassionate love. But until they are, be careful in your relationships. And I want to say it again, be careful in your relationships. When a person is living in sin, knowing they're living in sin, regardless of what got them there, be careful of your relationships, unless your purpose is to reach out and reclaim that person, and you are strong enough to do it, you have to be very careful. Now, how do you rescue? What do you do with an old sunken vessel that's half sunk on the rocks? Takes a lot of work to reclaim that kind of a vessel. Sometimes have to make it over, cost a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy. But it's amazing what the right kind of skill can do to what appeared to be something that is useless and of no value. You put the right kind of workmen skilled at their labor on a half-sunken vessel, and before long, over a period of time, they can have it repaired, afloat, painted, beautiful, engines moving, back to its normal, almost natural, new condition. Reclaimed from the rocks. What is God saying to us in this passage? Listen to what he said to Timothy. He said, among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered over to Satan, so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. He says, we've got to reclaim these men. You and I never have a right to criticize and belittle and degrade a backslidden, fallen brother or sister, no matter what they've done and what's caused shipwreck in their life. Never have a right to do that. Our responsibility is to reach out with a helping hand. Our responsibility, not only is to reach out, but to bring them to repentance. Our responsibility is to recover them for the sake of the kingdom of God. Our responsibility is never to criticize, but to recover them. And if they have deliberately and willfully and intentionally and vehemently violated the Word of God, they may have to be turned over to Satan until God brings them to the absolute bitter end of themselves. But we must always be there, whatever their condition, reaching out, bringing them to repentance to recover them for the kingdom of God. Now, my friend, let me ask you a question. How many of you would have to say, you just described me? I used to go to church and I was so active. I used to teach Sunday school. I tithed my income. I was excited about God. Jesus Christ was the most important person in the world to me. But somewhere along the way, something happened. And I believe by now already you have identified what happened. My friend, it doesn't make any difference what brought you to the place you're at this present moment. It doesn't make any difference how shipwrecked you may feel, how hopelessly and bitterly lost you may feel, and how useless you may feel at this given moment, how unworthy and full of guilt and remorse, how doubtful you are about the fact that God may be able to reach down and forgive and forget everything that's happened. I want to tell you, He's willing to do it. He's willing to forgive you of your sin because He took care of that 2,000 years ago on the cross. You need to ask Him. You need to accept His forgiveness. You need to believe that the God who created out of nothing this world and the worlds and the universe and all that is in it, that same God can reach down and so transform your life. No matter what is on the inside, no matter how it looks on the outside, no matter what your condition, the loving Father who sent His only begotten Son sent Him for folks like you and like me who need to be reclaimed. Would you be willing to ask Him to forgive you of your sin? Would you tell Him that you're accepting His forgiveness not based on the fact that you're going to do better, not based on the fact of how remorseful you are or how repentant, but you're willing to accept His forgiveness on the basis that He provided it for folks like you and me at the cross 2,000 years ago. And repent of your sin. Turn away from it by an act of your will, by an act of your choice, and tell Him that beginning from this moment on, you're accepting His forgiveness. And you're going back to the Word of God, and you're going back to church, and you're going back to those Christian friends, and you want to make fellowship with people who can build you up and help you, and you want to develop an intimate relationship with Him, and you want a re-spark in your heart, and a new joy, and a new life, and a new sense of contentment, and you want God to make you the person He intended you to be. And I want to tell you, my friend, God will answer every single one of those prayers if you'll let Him do it. It begins with you acknowledging where you detoured, where you got off track, where you began to cease to look at the compass and the chart, and you charted your own way. And my friend, I don't have to tell you, and I'm not being critical of you, you've already suffered enough. What I'm telling you is this, my friend, you can have a new beginning. God isn't going to paint up the outside. You know where He starts? He starts with the engine on the inside. He starts in your spirit, in your heart, on the inside of you. And when He begins to remake you on the inside, you will automatically be different on the outside. The radiant countenance of Jesus will sparkle on your face. And those who used to know you will say, "Goodness, what has happened?" And you can tell them that the grace of God, listen to me, the grace of God, the love of God that's been pursuing you all of these years in your backslidden condition finally gripped you and you made a surrender. Now you have two choices. You can keep on living the way you're living and one day end up standing before Almighty God great fear and remorse over life wasted. Or you can repent of your sins and allow Him to reshape, to remake, to clean up your life and make you new all over again, reconciling you to Himself. If you're willing to make the choice, you can begin a brand new life right now. And that's my prayer for you, that you will be wise enough to accept what is so freely offered to you.
Thank you for listening to part two of Shipwrecked Saints. For more inspirational messages like this one, visit our online 24/7 station. And if you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.